Welcome to the Big MX Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and with me on the line, he's been on the podcast before under completely different circumstance, but I needed somebody to break down the Canadian Nationals. The Triple Crown Series starts this weekend, so I called up my good buddy, Teeth Parrot. Birdman, how's it going?
Not bad, Brad. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad, man. It is a Tuesday. I still don't know whether or not I'm going to be in Calgary for this weekend. Shout out to the Bruff family for not having their ducks in a row to figure out whether or not I'll be traveling to Calgary to wrench for their son or not be there at all, either way. But either way, neither of us will be racing. Before we get to kind of breaking down the series, we got to get to some broken bones and a sad trombone sound for the fact that you will not be joining the rest of the 450 hopefuls when the gate drops in just 1 week's time.
Yeah, man. I can't seem to catch a break for some reason. I keep breaking stuff every time I jump on a dirt bike. So,
well, you didn't catch a break. It was a broken femur.
Yeah, femur. And then last year I had a wrist. And the year before that, I broke my foot. And the year before that, I broke my back. Like, it's getting old, but
dirt bikes are dangerous.
Part of the sport, I guess. Okay. Yeah, man. You can't change it. Shit happens.
Well, luckily for you, you said it was on the East Track, correct, that you got hurt?
Yeah. Hey, East Track down there in Calgary.
This time next year, that could be a highway, so who knows?
Dude, you can't even say that right now.
I know. I just pissed off. There's about 50, 60 people who just turned off their, from the city of Calgary, who not only just, like, they just spit and then turned off the podcast. They won't hear me apologizing for that. I hope it doesn't happen that way.
I don't know, man. There have been rumors about that for so many years that it's hard to believe at any point, but I guess you'll never know until it actually happens.
Well, it's one of those funny things where, like, the overpass that should have happened in 1994, like, just takes forever because of, like, the bureaucracy of getting things put through, and then all of a sudden it's like, it snap your fingers and it's there. So, until it happens, we'll deal with it then. Until then, we have, the series going back to Wild Rose, where honestly, I think the series just belongs there, whether that's the opening round or somewhere along the way. It's one of the hallmarks of Canadian motocross. You've got the Calgary skyline off in the distance. You have all the photographers love to have that as a backdrop. And it's also a great track. It offers the guys the opportunity to, for an easy flight in, great hotels, great vibe. And of course the Albertans come out in full force.
Yeah, man. Even for the teams too, like, it's so much easier to have the first round in Calgary. Everyone can fly into the city and, like, you're not having to travel from Calgary to Kamloops or something for the first round. So I don't know why they haven't done Calgary for the first round before, but it makes more sense, I think.
It certainly does. I think it was just the fact that, like, there was just something very much like Canadian about starting the series over in BC and having it comb through the country. So, of course, like Nanaimo was a huge first round for a better part of a decade. We went up to, Jess Pettis's backyard there.
Prince George.
Yes. Yeah. That place is cool, and I do mean cold, probably in the mornings, but, there's still a ton of tracks in BC that are awesome. Honestly, like, there's actually an embarrassment of riches of motocross tracks across Canada, not just in Western Canada. If you included all the amazing tracks that Canada has, like, you'd have a 16 round series, no problem. It just can't be that way. There's not too many, not that many weekends throughout the summer that we can do the Nationals and all that fun stuff. But, first round, Calgary, great place for it. Like you said, people flying in, the teams, I'm sure they're more than on the road already. The BC folk will be making their way over to Alberta. I'd be Alberta bound. I know a bunch of Manitobans are going. Unfortunately, one of our hopefuls, Matthew Stokes, much like you, broke his leg like 5 days ago, which is not so fun. Either way, we're going to break down the 250s and the 50s here on the Big MX Radio Podcast. I'm excited about it. Are you ready?
I'm 100% ready. Let's do it.
All right, so we're going to make the audience wait on the 450 class. Those are the big boys, and they're going to come second on this particular day. Let's go straight into the 250 class and we will not be having a return champion. So the throne has been left empty for someone to claim, and it'll be hotly contested for. We're going to have some American talent injected into the series for the first time in a long time. Although, of course, we had Mitchell Harrison last year as well, but it's going to be an international feel going for the top prize, as well as you've got some veterans also buying for that. I'm excited about it. Who sort of like right off the hop sticks out to you as someone who is going to be vying for this championship every single round that they show up?
Man, I got high hopes for that Drew Adams kid, man. Like, from seeing what he's done in the States and all the amateurs, like, as far as I know, he's the amateur kid in the States right now. And it's cool that he's coming to Canada to like get that kind of door open for like racing pros and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of a neat idea. I don't know why more kids haven't done that from the States. Like, come here and you can race a couple nationals and kind of get your feet wet in it instead of just going and jumping straight into the AMAs. Like, cool concept. I think it's gonna work good for him, but I think he's gonna be the guy to beat this year.
I totally agree. And you know what, there's a number of guys who got their feet wet by racing Canadian nationals and cut their teeth. Kyle Chisholm coming up here and racing, Ryan Sipes back in the day, Donnie McGordy. There was a ton of guys, especially Team Green athletes. Josh Woods, of course, grabbing himself a championship as well. Sean Hamblin. Like, it was literally, it seemed like perennially every single year, especially in the 250 class, you'd get some hot young amateurs that are like just trying to get that experience racing with the men and doing those longer motos, the intensity, all that stuff, going up there and doing it. I think he definitely is on the path. And I honestly, I think the biggest reason why he's coming up here, I think honestly the only reason why he's coming up here, is that who he's his tutelage is, of course, Jacob Hayes, who spent a lot of time up here in Canada. He knows and he's familiar with this series. And he's probably thinking about like how is the best way to set this kid up for success when he eventually races in the States full time, and that means coming up to Canada and vying for a championship here. I think it's a good move.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's been riding with Dylan and those guys too, hasn't he? Like Chan Timus and all those guys. Yeah, so like, yeah, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be hard to beat. I don't know. It's going to take him a bit to learn these Canadian tracks, like. I feel like Calgary is kind of its own little breed with how hard pack it gets and stuff like that. So it might take him a little bit to maybe get into the groove of like getting in his comfort zone, but I think he's going to be fast.
Yes, he's going to have a lot of speed. Drew Adams, of course, he'll be riding Kawasaki's. I don't think he's with the Walton Kawasaki team, though, is he? He's kind of on a...
No, he's going... I'm pretty sure PRMX is hauling his bikes out.
Okay.
From what I've heard.
Fair enough.
I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that's what I heard, is that PRMX is bringing all of his bikes to the rounds, or at least just the West rounds. I think he's only committing to the three West rounds for now, but...
Yeah, I did see him possibly signing up for some Loretta's qualifier. So I think he's kind of got like his toes in multiple sort of pools, so to speak. But yeah, I think you're totally right. That is like, that's sort of the leader of the pack as far as I consider, as far as just raw speed, ability, and able to vie for race wins every time. The next guy that I have on my list is an elder statesman, but fast in his own right, won some motos last year, and that's Kevin Benoit. He's on the four stroke. I still wish he was riding the two stroke. That's the man on my own heart here, but that wasn't going to happen. I think Quinn Amiot's going to be fast in his own right. I really like Kevin Benoit to win quite a few motos this year. I think he's going to be fast. I think he's going to have great conditioning, and the racecraft is always there with Kevin.
Yeah, 100%. Like, he's a vet, man. Like, you can't argue with, like, him and, like, T-Diggs. These guys have done it for so many years that they know what they're expecting from the first round to the second round and stuff like that. And, like, that's where I feel like maybe, like, this Drew Adams or, like, maybe even this Tiger Woods kid, like, they might show some crazy speed, but there might be the mistakes that open the door for Benoit and, like, Quinn and T-Diggs to kind of sneak in there and take some moto wins or something like that.
Yeah, no, and the Benoit, T-Dags, they're as crafty as they come. There is no learning these tracks. Like, like a guy like T-Dags says, he's probably seen like 16 different layouts of Calgary. Like, I'm exaggerating but like he might have been there when they broke ground on the damn track. Who knows? Like, the guy's I'm not trying to make him sound that old, but like I watched that guy race at the 2007 Morden National. Like, That's
like we've been watching all like the old like Goldie has all the like 2006 like Nationals and everything on there, and T-Dag is racing there, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, like this guy's been doing it for so long, man. Like,
you know what's
of course
crazy?
He's as good as he is.
If you watch, I think it was DeChambeau's second moto. I think it was the second moto. It's Ryan Lochhart's only moto win as a pro. He laps Kevin Benoit in that race.
Does he? I think he watched that one.
Yeah. It's late in the race. He's on a Cowie 252 stroke, which is insane for, he would have been an intermediate at the time, I think, or just turned pro. And he's in that damn moto. So, not to make these guys sound old, but they did do it on carbureted motorcycles. So, that means it's been a while. Like, have you ever ridden a carbureted big bike?
No, my first 250 was in like 2014. So they were already,
they were EFI in 09 going forward. Yeah, that is. Unfortunately did race, carbureted four strokes, 06 through 08. And yeah, not the most fun. They had a little bit of hesitation here and there. But I was pretty slow anyway. So, didn't matter anyway.
Yeah, you had some confidence in those machines back then, Matt.
Oh yeah. No, it's about trust. It's like literally every like sketchy moment was like basically the moto equivalent of a trust fall. But, I know like, I can't go too far without talking about Quinn Amia. I think he's going to uncork something for us this year that we have not yet seen. He's a buddy of yours. Obviously, you've spent a lot of time at the track together. Unfortunately, he won't be dressed head to toe in Fox, which in my opinion is the number one gear brand to wear. Helmet, boots, goggles, the whole nine yards. But he'll still be fast this year. He's on that Walton Cowie.
Yeah, man. From what I've talked to him quite a few times since he's been down in like Florida and stuff like that. And he's loving this Cowie. So I'm excited to see him on it. And he's done a lot of laps compared to most guys in Calgary. Like he's every year up until now, like he's not coming out this year early, but last year and in 22, he came out for like a month and rode Calgary for a month straight. So I think he has a lot of lap time, a lot of laps on Calgary. So I think he's going to be doing good this weekend.
I totally agree with you. And from that standpoint, like for a guy like yourself, like you've raced the Calgary National and like on a track where obviously you've got speed, but there's a difference between having like one lap speed and having speed late in a race where you know, that corner breaks down that way. Like I'm going to be able, like there's that rut that sort of it breaks down through the middle of there. That's going to appear later on because that always, like it's kind of like it's a rut that always sort of shows up, or you have like a kind of a bump on the inside of a corner that essentially goes away and you know you can go there late. How much of a benefit is having that sort of experience riding a track when it starts to break down, where the bumps are, because as much as you can completely reface a track and like change some stuff up here and there, certain things are inevitable. Like I think you can think of some local tracks where like there's a bomb hole on the exit of this corner and it's been there since 2004. Like tell me a little bit about that experience and how that can benefit somebody who's got the experience at a track that they ride on a regular basis.
My only firsthand experience from that is like is probably Quinn. When he came out in like 22, we rode the hill track, we did like the Super Saturdays or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's gonna hate I told this story, but we lapped him in like a 20-minute moto. We fully lapped a guy in a 20-minute moto, and he's like, I don't understand how you guys are going this fast on this track. Like Calgary is its own little breed, and especially this year, it's been the track crew that's been pepping it has not been doing as good of a job as it's been in the past, so it's been super dry for every round. Yeah, someone's got to say it, but it's been super dry every round, so hopefully the Triple Crown boys can kind of come in and like force them to put some more water on the track and get it deeper and stuff like that. But yeah, this track gets some crazy little like sneaky insides, or like it's kind of trying to open the track up and like flow it a little bit more than it is just charging into corners, because it's usually dry and then they water it, so then all the entrances into the corners are super slippery and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just trying to kind of find a flow with those first couple laps, and then once the track starts breaking in a little bit better, like for like second motos and stuff, then you can start pushing it. But consistency on those first few laps are going to be key, because it's going to be slick.
Fair enough. So before we go even a moment further, like keeping the 250 class in mind, are there any locals that are going to give some of the, like, the regular top 10 guys, or the regular top 15 guys, more than they can normally handle, or, like, they're going to have a little bit more for them at Calgary than they will at other rounds? Who comes to mind in the 250 class?
Around here, Clayton Schmucky's been riding really well. I know he's been in the down south for probably 6-7 months now. So he just came back the other weekend for the first time in race, and he was looking good. Nick Collins is like my roommate, and he was down south in Texas riding. And then he said when he came back to Calgary that he felt like slow, like super slow from riding in the States coming back here. So I think Clayton's going to be riding good this year once he gets a little bit more time on the track. I know he's been riding this week and stuff. So I think he's going to be riding good. And Zach Ukinseff has been spending quite a bit of time here too. He's not far from here. He's in Kelowna, so he's only like 7 hours, but he's done a lot of laps on Calgary. But I think he's going to be a good guy. I think he's going to be inside that top 10 for sure.
You know it's Canada when they say it's only 7 hours away.
Yeah, good drive, man. Good drive. Yeah,
7 hours, no problem. It's so funny. People from like, I go to the States all the time. People are like, oh, like, how close are you to Toronto? I'm like 24 hours away.
Yeah, dude. Like, I got some guys texting me all the time, like, hey, I'm in Niagara Falls. How close are you? I'm like, dude, I'm closer to freaking Florida than I am Niagara Falls right now. Like,
yeah,
it's at least a 40-hour drive for me to get down there. Like, yeah, Toronto's so far away from us over here.
Yeah, 3 oil changes. How about that? Like, what?
Yeah, no kidding.
Not happening.
Yeah.
No. So let's talk about a couple of teammates. You've got the Elder Statesman. I'm going to stop calling him old. He's just fast. T-Dags and Tiger Wood. I think both these guys are going to lead a lot of laps this year. Like, Tyler is, he's got such a great frame for the 250. He's mm-hmm. a little bit short in stature. He's always been light on his feet, light on the pegs. He rides a 250 extremely well. I think he's going to be a great mentor and a great competitor for Tiger. I think both these guys are going to have a lot to offer this series. I think like Tiger's probably the best suggestion you can make to Tiger Wood is probably to lock him into a gym full of just a freezer full of steaks and a barbecue and come out 6 weeks later and see if he's put on a few pounds. But aside from that, the kid's got speed to burn.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's cool to see. I'm curious on his Red Bull deer. Or his Red Bull deal. Like, I'm surprised Dylan doesn't have a helmet. I don't know if, like, it was an American deal. That's one question I got, is how that kid scored a Red Bull.
I feel
Bull
like
deal.
That might like, have had some Australian connection there.
Yeah, something. That's curious. But it's pretty sick to see, like, another guy in Canada with an energy drink helmet on. So
no doubt.
But, yeah, I think, T-Dakes is a good mentor for him to have. And then the only thing I'm kind of worried about, like, at least from what I've seen, like, we seen from Tanner Ward last year when he went back down to the 250, it seemed like he really struggled until like he got into like the later end of the season, and then he jumped back up into a 450 anyways. But that's the only thing I'm kind of curious to see, is if his speed on the 450 can translate back down to a 250. So that'd be a kind of a question mark going into the first round.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised about that. I don't want to completely derail the podcast to sort of address last year's Tanner Ward, but that really took me aback. Is that when I watched the first round, I was expecting just Tanner to be like either leading or on the heels of whoever was leading, and it never really came together for him as far as like really being able to assert himself. I don't really know why that was. I think the 450 maybe like complements his style a little bit better, but either way, I think he's looking good at the 84 machine on that Cowie.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it's, everything's a question mark going into Calgary, I guess, right? Like, no one's really sure on who's actually riding good and who's comfortable on their bikes and stuff right now. But yeah, I think T-Dags is going to be, he's always going to be in the battle. Like, you can never count that guy out.
No, you would be silly if you do. What about Kerr, Scott, Davies? Like, I think that's going to be a three-guy battle that they're going to see a lot of each other throughout the year. It's going to be start-dependent. In that respect, I really like Kerr's starts. Tell me about those three.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with Kerr. I've talked to him a handful of times and stuff. Super nice kid. But yeah, he missed out last season too. He got hurt. So he's kind of going with a chip on his shoulder, looking to like redeem himself for this year. So I think he's going to come out firing. I seen him training with like Osborne and stuff too, I believe, in the States. So solid guys to be working with. Well, Stavies, I think, is going to be fast. I don't know. I was looking on his Instagram the other day. I don't know if he's riding a 450 or if he's just like practicing on a 450, but we'll see. We'll see what he's up to.
He's a tall kid, so you never know if he just wants to make that jump. Yeah, like kind of like a why not sort of thing. Like if there's an opportunity to race in the 450 class and place well, like go man go. I don't think that there's because like actually that's basically the strategy behind Gavin Bruff. Eventually he is signed up for Calgary. He raced Fox Raceway, put it in the motos. He was top 30, okay. I think 31, 33 in the 250 class, but he's going to be racing a 450 for the Canadian series, and he's hoping to be somewhere near the top 10. And I think that's like, I don't think that's a bad move whatsoever.
No, 100%. Even Tanner Scott, like, is he? I don't even know if he's coming down. Last year he didn't come down for the West round, so I don't even know if he's making the trip down or what their plan is.
When he shows up, he will be fast, and he's gonna have something to say for guys like Ufum Zeff, and same thing with Jones. What do you expect from Jones? He's like we've seen him on that Yamaha team for a while now. I think he's got a little bit to prove as far as kind of taking that next step. What do you expect to see out of him?
I think he's gonna be around that like 9th, 10th place. He just loves the sport. So I think it's hard to argue with a guy that just wants to be at the races every weekend. So
certainly
whether he's getting 12th or he's getting 7th, like I think he's going to be happy either way. And I think he's going to be good this year. So I don't know. We'll see.
No, it's going to be a big change at the top. Like Harrison, I think he's racing 450, correct?
As far as I know, I've seen that's all he's been riding. As a
same thing with Notsky, and you don't have McNabb back. So literally your top three last year's points will not be there. There's going to be a shakeup, and we're going to have a brand new champion.
Yeah, 100%. Even to forgot to talk about Seb. Sebastian Racine is going to be good, yes, I think, this year too. From like from the videos, I've watched all his vlogs and stuff like that. I love the kid. He's super nice and everything. But I think he's going to be fast. Like, I think he's going to be up there in that top five battling for podiums too again. Last year, I don't think we've seen the best out of Seb. I think he's getting used to that Yamaha and stuff, and now his second year on the new bike and things. I think he's going to be putting some good motos together.
Yes, and we'll have to talk about their 450 signing with – his name is escaping me at the moment.
Preston Kilroy.
Yeah, Preston Kilroy, 450 class. That kid is too legit to quit. We're going to talk about him in the 450 class. But like, I'll just throw this out there. Canadian Moto is in a better place when that team is firing on all cylinders. I think there's just something about that team having some success that just breathes life into the entire pits. Kevin Tyler, great guy, and the MX-101 Yamaha team. I think I got nothing but time for those guys. Great people over there.
Yeah, like last year watching all the motos, like Kevin would come up and stand beside me and we watch motos and stuff like. It's just a good team to be around. Like, I think that's like, if you had the choice to pick from a team, like obviously KTM and like they got the bikes and everything like that. But if you wanted to go to like a good team that you felt comfortable on, I feel like MX-101 is the place to be right now. Like,
yeah, it seems like just feels like a family over there, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
I like it. So let's throw down our championship favorites for the 250 class and move over onto the 450s.
I'm going Adams if he sticks around for the full series. Obviously, if he's trying to do the Loretta stuff, I don't see him sticking around for the whole thing. But if he leaves, Benoit, and I really want to say Quinn, but I got to see how he's riding for the first round. Like, I think he's at the level and the mentality that he can win these motos and stuff now, but it's just going to take some time to see if it actually plays out in that light.
100%. I agree with you. I think that not that it's going to come down to the opening rounds, because obviously you can lose you can't win the championship in the first round, but you can certainly lose it. If we leave the West Coast swing and Quinn is very much in the fight. I like him the rest of the way out, and he's going to be battling with Benoit the entire summer. But honestly, this summer, I really like Benoit. I think that bike is dialed. I think he's in great shape, and this will be a long time between championships, but I'm calling him for a championship.
Yeah, it's hard to, you can't go wrong with Benoit. Like, even the performance he put out last year, not coming off the couch, but kind of just showing up and no one knew where he's going to be at and winning the first round. Everyone's like, oh God, like the old dogs are back again. Like, we got to deal with this now. So yeah, you can't fight experience out there. Like, those guys are just smarter on the tracks and it just pays off at the end of the day.
So what do you think, who do you think leaves the 250 class first? Tyler Medaglia or his son?
Who leaves the 250
class? Yeah, who graduates from the 250 class? Is there going to be a situation where Medaglia's son is vying for the 450 championship in like 7-8 years from now, and T-Dags is like a top five guy in 250 pro motocross in Canada?
Yeah, you never know, man. You always think he's done, and he keeps showing up every time. So Talon might be beating him here in a couple of years. I think his son's name's Talon.
Yeah, it's Talon.
Mistaken. Yeah, Talon. He's a sick kid too, man. Like, that kid's so good at everything. Like, he's going to be a natural athlete. So I think he's going to be fast. I think he's going to be beating his old man here soon in a couple of years.
Whew, that'll be a tough pill to swallow, but I think Ty will be happy to see it. All right, let's move straight over to the 450 class, brought to you by Fox Racing Canada. Shout out to JC Sites over there. The guy has been busier than busy when it comes to, like, they had sales meetings and they got the nationals in town. They probably got people who want to go for a guided tour through HQ, and they got guys like me bugging him for hitting them up for some fresh gear. And he's like, Gebhardt, you barely ride. And I'm like, yeah, but still. the great gear. That's the stuff that you were wearing when you wrecked yourself, correct?
Yeah. I had to wait for a little bit for some new gear. So unfortunately, I wrecked myself in old gear. So then JC said, throw any gear I have out, because I've gone 2 years now without gear because I keep getting hurt. So
yeah, no,
he's going to get me a few sets here.
Start fresh. And
yeah, that's what he's saying. Get rid of it all.
Before we hit record on this, you said that you're starting to move around a little bit. So we might see you on a dirt bike 6 weeks out, maybe.
Yeah, that's the goal. I'm saying months to 6 weeks if everything kind of goes right. I started physio the other week with the Action Sports Clinic here in Calgary, so they've been helping me out. And, it's coming. Like, I mean, all things considered, like, a month ago I had a broken femur, and I'm walking on it now. So I'm pretty happy with, like, the progression I've made on it. So
this we'll just see. In. We'll see T. Parrott Racing Calgary. Well. Okay.
I'd be pushing it. I would, though, if I could, but we'll see. We might try making it out for Walton or something if everything goes well.
I would love to see it. Trivia question for you. Who won a 125 national championship on the West, but then showed up at the shootout on a different motorcycle?
How long ago was this? How long?
I think it was 2000.
2000? Oh, man. I couldn't tell you. Marty Madsen? I don't know.
The 929 of Sean Hamblin on a Blackfoot Honda takes the championship. Absolutely crushed my soul, because I was a diehard Darcy Lange guy. Like, I was like, Lange is my guy. Okay. I like the 5. I like the 3. Richmond Gowan Kawasaki. Let's go. Brad Hagseth steals it from him the 1 year. Hamlin takes him the following year, or maybe they have those years flipped, but either way. There was some sort of falling out between Blackfoot and Hamlin, and he shows up on a two-wheel Kawasaki at Walton. It was wild.
Huh. Damn.
For the shootout.
I'm not good with those old races. Like, unless I've watched it on YouTube, I probably don't know about it, but.
Yeah. Fair enough. For the longest time, I didn't even have, like, cable or anything, so I would literally just watch old races, like, as my entertainment. So
I've been on the couch for so long now, that's all I've been doing is just watching old nationals.
Fair enough. I should make you a copy of this. I have an external hard drive with, like, a terabyte worth of old races. Needs to be. Oh yeah. Like, it's not all Canadian stuff. I do have some Canadian stuff, but it's mostly American stuff. I should rip a copy for you. But let's talk 450s, and I'll just go ahead and say it. Is anyone going to be able to beat Dylan Wright this year?
I think JP has what it takes to beat Dylan. He's a second year without injury, so, like, he's coming back strong and confident. And
somebody knock on some wood.
He beat Dylan last year, so I don't see why he couldn't do it again this year.
I certainly think that Jess Pettis can beat Dylan Wright. Can he do it consistently enough to bring this championship right down to the wire? It's the crazy thing about Dylan is just how much winning he does. Obviously, he's won across the entire series, which basically, like, you can't really roll into any one racetrack and be like, oh, he's not good here. He's good everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't. Like, he's good on hard pack. He's good on sand. He's good on clay. Like, yeah, you can't. It's more of like a battle for who gets second than it is for the win at the end of the day. Unless some things go wrong or Dylan makes mistakes and stuff like that, I feel like it's just, you can't. Like, if I was able to put money down, I'd be betting Dylan Wright.
Yeah, I don't know if there's an offshore betting service that creates odds for the Canadian Nationals, but yeah, you'd probably have to put up a lot of money to make money on Dylan. But yeah, 100%. Pettis, I think he's probably still got a sour taste in his mouth about how more across the nations went. I think he mm-hmm. if that hasn't been fueling the fire, I don't know what will. But he's going to have some worthy competitors even under his own truck. Josiah Notsky on the 450 with, not to besmirch the good name of our friends over at PRMX, but this is the best support he's had since coming over to Canada.
Yeah, I'd say KTM is probably the most factory team. Like, they get Crate Motors and stuff like that. And Honda's up there. I don't know exactly what their motor packages are, but I think he's on probably the best bike you can kind of get in Canada right now for support-wise. So it's going to be fun to see if the speed is there. I've heard a lot of people saying that he's absolutely flying at practice tracks and stuff, but see if that relates to some good moto overall finishes.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a bit start dependent. Sometimes he's up there and he's able to race with those guys. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've seen with Notsky in the past is, like, he'll get caught sort of like dicing with some guys in the fifth, sixth spot, where, like, even during qualifying, his qualifying times were a lot faster than that, but you just kind of get caught in a battle racing with the guys who are around. And I think anyone can really be sort of guilty of that at times. But if he can avoid that, he's going to be in a thorn in the side of a guys like Pettis, Wright, and yeah, like, I think he's going to, he might very well could lead some laps this year.
Yeah, I don't see why he couldn't. Like, his speed's there, obviously. Like, everyone's seen it before, so I think it'll be exciting to see another new guy in the 450 class, so should be good.
No, we've definitely injected a lot of talent into the 450 class. Like, I'm sure you haven't seen much from Aaron Tanti, actually. I think the last time we saw him was going through a set of whoops until the handlebars gave him an uppercut. But aside from that, that was in January or possibly late December. Should be fully healed. I think that's another guy, another international racer that's going to be giving guys like Tanner Ward fits. Same thing with, of course, like the perennial top 10 racer in Keelan Meston. He'll be running the number 10 and probably, like, having guys like Aaron Tanti be like, who the hell is this guy giving me the entire business, this entire moto, especially at a place like Calgary. What do you expect from guys like that?
It's hard to say, like, such a mystery, because I've never actually personally seen him ride before. We've watched him on Supercross and whatever, but I've heard good things about him, like crazy fast and like good rider and stuff.
Yep.
But that's the thing, like, the Canadian series is so much different than what they run in the GPs or like in the States. Like, it's kind of just, it's a different vibe over here. So I don't know if they're going to pick up on like results right away, or if it's going to take him maybe a couple rounds to get comfortable out here and figure out where he kind of fits in the class, or if he's just going to be a top three guy. Like, it's kind of a mystery coming into the first round if he's going to be extremely good or if he's going to be kind of mediocre.
Certainly. I think, yeah, the questions will be answered. It's going to, like, over the next 3 weekends, we've got three back-to-back races that's almost half of your entire series right there. We're going to get a lot of answers real quick. But for a guy who got third in the points last year, we haven't even mentioned him yet. And I hate to say that he's going to be the victim of this, but with how much extra talent being injected into the series, a guy like Daniel Elmore is going to have a lot on his plate defending those good starts and good finishes that he had last year. I hate to say that he'll take a step backwards, but I think if he does, it'll be because guys like Julian Benick, guys like Parker Eales, and the guys we just talked about, they've taken a step forward.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think Keelan's going to be really fast. Watch him in Calgary. We just went to Raymond on, Friday, and he's flying. He seems like he even has, another gear above where he's riding right now, all spring series out here and everything like that.
Yeah.
He was just – he's on another level. I think this is the best I've seen Keelan ride for a long time. So I think he's going to be up there with those guys. Parker Eales, you can never count him out because he's always consistent. Julian Benick's going to be fast. He did unbelievable for Supercross this year. So I think that confidence is going to be carrying over here. And I think he's going to be going for, top fives if it happens. But yeah, the class is so stacked now that it's hard to tell who's going to be the guy out there.
Yeah, no, like I said, the 450 class is maybe as deep as it's been for the last better part of a decade. With a lot of, there's a ton of guys that are going to be rolling into Calgary being like, I'm a top five guy. And unfortunately, only five guys can be a top five guy. And there's going to be some guys on the outside looking in who aren't very happy about their race. And honestly, we could roll into Lethbridge and have the middle portion of the top 10 completely flipped. And nobody's surprised by that. Guys like Tyler Gibbs, they can have great motos. And I don't even know if we're going to what we're going to see from Jeremy Mackay this year, even whether or not we're going to see him at all the rounds. But that kid can have some speed at times as well.
Yeah, he's fast. You can't count him out. Even going back to Raymond, Raymond's a different animal, man. We've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. Raymond is going to be a crazy round, a full week of amateur nationals before it. And that track gets square edge and kickers and gnarly bumps. That's going to be a round of survival, I think. Raymond's going to be a big round of just consistency. So these guys can go fast as they want for the first three laps, but they're going to get blown out on that track.
For sure. It won't be as challenging, especially to see, as say Medicine Hat, because, I think they called that the Dust Bowl.
Drumheller.
Yeah, Drumheller. That's what I was saying. What did I say?
You said Medicine Hat.
Oh yeah. No, we don't go to the Hat. Drumheller, that place, I rode there. That's just a weird track. Am I wrong in thinking for a track that really doesn't have that much elevation change, it's really jumpy?
Yeah. There's they really force it on you. Kind of.
Yeah.
It's not
you're just sending
Yeah. You're just smashing into stuff the whole moto.
Yeah.
But Raymond's going to be good. It's good dirt. As long as they water it good and kind of get a good prep on it, it's going to be, I would say it's probably might be the one of the gnarliest rounds of the year.
No, yeah, I think you're spot on that. Are you going to make yourself available and kind of go out to some of these races and watch? Are you going to be are you going to be a spectator, or are you going to be talked into someone's going to talk you to taking them to the line and packing a gate with your good leg, of course?
I think I might do the live broadcast for the premix and the women's moto.
Okay.
For the first round.
There you go.
For Calgary and Raymond, so Kyle Thompson messaged me the other day and was seeing if I'd be interested in it. So I think I will do that and then kind of see where it goes from there. I don't know. I got nothing to do this summer. I'm bummed up. So if there's a way I can travel and kind of go to all the rounds and stuff, I'll be there. But
yeah,
I'll be at the first two for sure. And I'll probably make the trip out to Manitoba to help out some of the boys and if they need me out there or not. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, let's go see the sprawling fields of nothingness over in Manitoba. And eventually you get to Prairie Hill Raceway, where one of my favorite tracks in Manitoba. The craziest thing about that, as with all respect to Kyle McCannell and the McCannell family, I think that might be my fourth favorite track in Manitoba. Just layout and the elevation that's available, honestly, I think, did you ever race McNabb Valley? I think you're old enough to. You did race it back in when, did you race it when it was a Mud Bowl, though?
No, I raced it the year before. What was that, 18?
18.
19 was the Mud Bowl, I think. Yeah, yes. I raced it in 18.
Okay. Yeah, much better track, beautiful track. That unfortunately, with the success of Ryder McNabb, it just that they didn't keep it up. They don't. It's not part of the series anymore. Shadow Valley is completely changed from what it once was. The Westfall family have taken that place over, and they've absolutely manicured it to just pristine shape. And then, if we're talking Manitoba, give me Grunthal or give me nothing else. It's such a beautiful track. I could see for a pro that it might not be as challenging, but it always produced great racing when it was here. I know Galdi has the old Grunthal races on his YouTube. I highly recommend. Especially because back in the day, like, guys had to race both classes. Like, I think it was part of, like, the Canadian Championship was based off of, like, both 125 and 250 points. So, okay. I highly recommend checking those out. I'll throw the link to those videos in the description for this podcast. But we've got an embarrassment of riches in Manitoba as far as tracks go, and Prairie Hill's a great one.
Yeah, you know, it should be exciting. That as long as it's not as hot as it was in 22.
That was bad, eh?
Yeah, as long as it's anything better than that, it'll be a good round. That track is sick. Like, good jumps and, like, flowy and through the trees and stuff. It's sick. But yeah, as long as it's not as hot as it was in 22, it should be good.
The funny thing about the heat is, because it's like a lot of the track is sort of like in the trees a little bit, the humidity just like goes 10x up there. And that's why we either get heat or rain. And I don't know which you would prefer, but, I would take, sweltering hot over, hot sticky mud that of Prairie Hill, because that place can be an absolute menace if it's raining.
Yeah. I could see that place getting slippery and stuff, but I don't know. I've done good in mud motos before, so I'd almost take the mud over how hot it was in 22. But
yeah, and it was hot and windy that weekend. It was a weird weekend.
Yeah, because like Saturday was blowing wind.
Yeah,
and then Sunday was hot and just stagnant. Like, it just wasn't moving, no wind. I heat stroked out the first moto and then finished the second moto, but awesome. Yeah, that was a bad round.
Yeah, that was wild. That was something to remember at the very least. Before we get going on this thing, we do have to talk about 450 champions prediction. I'm going with Dylan Wright. You're going with Dylan Wright?
I'm going Dylan Wright, unless Jess can kind of get in his head and kind of beat him. I think if Jess can get in there, show him some wheels, beat him a couple motos, I think he might get in Dylan's head enough where he could be the champion at the end of the year. But it's going to take the first couple of rounds to see where they all fit in. It's hard to argue with Dylan right now.
Fair enough. So let's for a minute or two talk the premix series. This is always a fun series for me to watch. I love the two strokes. I think it's a great injection to the series. It gives people an extra something for people to watch. And if I'm not mistaken, perhaps Dexter Seitz racing on a 125. He's been dabbling. He's dipping his toes into that world already on big bikes. What are your thoughts? And you might very well be calling the action. So what better time to kind of pick your brain on the two-stroke stuff?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't really know who's racing. Like, obviously, Dex is racing. And there's some other, like, Alberta kids I know are probably going to be racing it. But, yeah, it's hard to say if there's any other guys coming up to race. If Dex is on the 125 and stuff, and he's been kind of struggling with suspension setups on it because he is a little bit shorter for the bike. So they're trying to find ways to make him comfortable on it. So I think he's kind of getting the hang of it now. So he'll be good on it. But it's hard to say because I really don't even know who's racing it.
Yeah, I just more or less, like, that's just a fun series to watch. You kind of get a little bit of everything. I know in there's not a lot of kids who race 125s in Manitoba, but you get a couple of guys who show up on a few bikes that look like they may have been sitting in the garage for a little while. but put some fresh gas together and maybe some new jets in a very carbureted. I think one guy was riding a mid 80s 125. I don't think he did very well. It was Tim Lavoie. But yeah, like, it'll be fun to watch at the very least.
Yeah, it'll be entertainment for sure. Like, you can't get some weekend warriors out there and stuff like that. It's going to be fun to watch. But just, yeah, those boys, they're in for a little treat there for the morning of Nationals. It's going to be deep, so I don't know if it's going to be that fun to race.
Definitely. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Mr. Parrott, I really appreciate you making some time. I hope to be in Calgary for this weekend, but if I'm not, blame Gary Brough. But either way, this is going to be a fantastic season. I appreciate you coming on to sort of break things down for me and help me kick off the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. You better make it to Calgary. Like,
yeah, well, no, it's only a 12-hour drive. So if by hook or by crook, Saturday morning I get a wild hair, like you can get behind the wheel of an F-150 and crawl across the Trans-Canada Highway. It's been done before. It'll be done
no
again.
No problem. Yeah, you can make it happen.
Safe to say after one, rounds one and two, we jump back on one of these and talk about what we saw?
Yeah, I'm down.
All right. Perfect, man. Well, for T. Parrott here on the Big MX Radio podcast, thank you guys so much for checking out this episode. And yeah, like I said, we will catch up with you and the Canadian National Series in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks, Brad.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee? Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get
out. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2.